Our passage of scripture this morning as we continue in the book of Luke is Luke 17, and we'll be considering verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it was so, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." When we look at this passage, I don't want us to miss what is in the very first verse. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem." And this is the third time in the Gospel of Luke that it's mentioned that Jesus is going towards Jerusalem. And so this is the third stage, you might say, of his journey. In Luke 9:51, it says that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In Luke 13:22, it says that he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And here again, in chapter 17, verse 11, it says he went to Jerusalem. And we know why he went to Jerusalem. It's because in Jerusalem he would die on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, according to Isaiah 53:3. And so these lepers, how were they healed? They were healed by Jesus' stripes. Even though Jesus hadn't gotten to Jerusalem yet, he hadn't died yet. If he hadn't died, there would have been no healing. Notice this is what Jesus did for us. What he had to do to save us. He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to go to the cross. He had to die in order to save us. There was no salvation apart from his death on the cross. And I think that's just, when we look at this passage, it's easy to get right to the 10 lepers and miss that they were healed as Jesus was on his way to the cross. And yet my first point is, doing with the lepers is that needs plead. Needs make us raise our voices. It says in verse 11, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted their voices and said, 'Master, have mercy on us.'" Lifted their voices. The Greek word is ero and phone. We have both of those in English. We have an aeroplane that lifts us up into the sky, and we have a phone which we talk on. Well, they lifted their voices. They had an aerophone, you could say. And there was a reason that they lifted their voices, and that was they were crying for mercy. And we see here an important statistic to note at the beginning of the message. 10 out of 10 lepers lift their voices when they see Jesus within range. Needs make us plead, don't they? When we have a need from God, we're driven to our knees. And sometimes, the famous saying is there are no atheists in foxholes. When people are in danger, they tend to pray. When they see things out of their own control, they tend to pray. And yet not all prayer, even answered prayer, comes from right, regenerate hearts. Sometimes there's prayer that's not really godly prayer. We have an example of it in Numbers 11. Numbers 11, 4 through 6 says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat?' And then they talk in verse 5 about how they remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now all we have is this manna to eat. Nothing except this manna before our eyes." They say in verse 6, they said, "Our whole being is dried up." Why was their whole being dried up? Because they didn't have all the nice foods that they wanted. And I'm not going to go into that whole chapter, but later in the chapter, in verse 18, we read God's response to this. It says, "Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did we ever come out of Egypt?'" Now, what was wrong with that prayer? They were praying, you could say, and they got an answer to prayer, but was God happy with that prayer? No, they were praying, as James says, to fulfill their lusts, and they wanted meat to eat. They weren't happy. They weren't content with what God had given them. And we see the final result in the end of the chapter. It says in verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around." A day's journey worth of quail from the outsides of where they were. That's a lot of quail when you think of it. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day. They weren't sleeping. They were up all day, all night, and all the next day gathering this stuff. And it says, "And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataava, because there they buried the people who yielded to craving." What a horrible picture. Here these people are complaining against God, proclaiming against his provision for them. He answers their prayer, but not with a friendly answer. "You're going to have the meat coming out of your nostrils," and they're eating it day and night. They're not even going to sleep. And God's judgment comes upon them in the form of a terrible plague. And we see this, that people cry out because of needs. And sometimes God hears them and provides for them, and yet it's not always a blessing. Well, back to Luke 17, 10, and this is the second point. 10 out of 10 have their needs met by God beyond what they deserved. We see here, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." The lepers need to understand this. They say to Jesus before they're healed, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." They knew they were in a bad situation. Leprosy was a dread disease. And not only was it a terrible physical disease, but it was socially, it made a person an outcast. The leper, if he was approached by another person, according to Leviticus 13:45, had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." And so they were used to lifting their voices in the air. Unclean, unclean. In order to protect other people, they weren't allowed to, they were supposed to keep people at a distance. Yet as dreadful as leprosy was, obviously it's a mercy compared to hell's fire. Jesus says about hell, Mark 9:48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Even with leprosy, if these men had continued their whole life with leprosy and wound up in heaven, they would have been happy people indeed. We should see the pains and the struggles we go through in this life as God's getting our attention. And I believe these lepers, they recognized Jesus. They called out to Jesus. They wanted Jesus. Why? Because they knew they had a need. They were very different than the Pharisees who were arguing with Jesus, who didn't see him, who didn't recognize him. They knew their needs. They believed in his power. And so they do seek him. And yet there's a difficulty in this passage. And it's the third point here. Yet only one of ten is obviously and loudly saved. When we look at this, it's starting in verse 15. It describes a situation where we don't know about nine of these lepers. It says in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And this passage shows to us what true and vital salvation does. And it did for sure for this one leper. First, it brings us back to Jesus. He returned to Jesus. He was healed. There's lots of people in the world that are healed of diseases, not always miraculously, but they're healed and they never return to Jesus. But this man was healed and he returns to Jesus. Secondly, he glorifies God with a loud voice. It says, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, this is something we all believe in as Presbyterians. We have the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that's the answer of it. And this man did that. He returned to Jesus and then he glorified God, which shows that he was already fulfilling the purpose for which he was created, the purpose for which Jesus, I'm sure, healed him, that he would glorify and praise God. And then, that's the part we all as Presbyterians do. And then there's a part I think sometimes as Presbyterians we miss. It says, he glorified God with a loud voice. And as Presbyterians, we're not very loud. This is something that, honestly, I think sometimes we need to work on. I'm a quiet person myself normally. But if there's something that is either very positive or very negative, I have been emotional. I have been loud at times. And I think that almost everybody is. Even very quiet people, maybe they're not as loud as the loud people are. But they're louder when they are very excited about something. And we don't know anything about this particular leprous personality, but it says, we know what Scripture says about him, and it says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Literally, the Greek is again, it's something that you'll recognize in English, because it's megas, which we get the word mega from, and phoné again, a loud voice, a megaphone. He was using his megaphone, and he was praising God with his megaphone, which shows us we can use technology to be more loud for God. And I'm hoping next week, you know, our website is going to be further along, and we may be loud through that. We can be loud creatively for the Lord. But that's what megaphone is from, megas phone, this Greek word that means to use a loud voice. And this is something that is not usually thought of, but here are things that are evidence of a true and real salvation. First, he wants to come to Jesus. Secondly, he glorifies God. And thirdly, it's with a loud voice, meaning that he's not half-hearted about this. He is all into this. I think of the opposite being like that church in Laodicea. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Well, that's what the Laodiceans were like. I don't think they were glorifying God with a loud voice. They were kind of going through the motions. They were lukewarm. Where does this spiritual, godly loudness come from? Well, Jesus says it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And I think there's a loudness that can be faked. You know, I think there's a spiritual loudness that is a very real loudness that is not necessarily loud all the time at all. It knows when to be quiet, knows when to be reverent, knows when to be loud, knows all these things. Why? Because the Spirit is bringing it about. It's not just a natural loudness, nor is it something that we stir up on our own, faking it and making sounds to please different people. I remember as a young preacher, I had a mentor. His name was Angus McDonald. He always says, Angus like the cow and McDonald like the hamburger. And he was my pastoral mentor. And I was going to be preaching. Well, I was preaching and I was working on a sermon. And he decided, he says, Arnie, come in and preach for me, and I'll give you some critique on your message. Well, when I preached, I was trying to be extra loud and trying to have all these accents. And he says, hey, Arnie, I can tell the way you're doing that. And I'm a young preacher. He's saying, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like you. That's not you. And he calmed me down and he says, until your spirit, your spirit is really feeling those things, you shouldn't make it out that you're that way. And he was exactly right. And I've carried that with me. And I thought, we have to be what we really are. And yet we really have to be loud in some way if we know the truth. And why is that? Well, what made this man loud in glorifying God? First, he realized his circumstance. He realized that he was a leper and he had been cleansed. R.C. Sproul, when talking about this, he says he thinks all the lepers glorified God. And they all must have thanked him, because how could anybody be walking home and have leprosy and start seeing your hand and skin clear up, everything is healing, everything's coming better? You'd imagine that as those 10 lepers that were walking to the priest and they were seeing their bodies change, that they'd all be saying, look at this, look at me, look at where I had this leprosy here, it's not here anymore. You'd think they would be very excited about that. But then you'd think too, why don't they all come back? It's a mystery. They must not have all been so excited, or maybe they were like those that Jesus says, you know, they were excited at first and then kind of wears off. They got caught up in the world. Hey, now that I have a new body, I can get married, or I can do this, or I can do that. They might have had other goals which made them forget to come back to Jesus. But He does, because He realized He was cleansed from leprosy. He was healed. And when He realizes how bad things were before and how good Jesus made them, that's what makes Him loud. That's what makes Him glorify God. And if we have the same thing, don't we as sinners have an even worse disease than leprosy? Sin is a dread disease. It will pull us down to hell for sure. It will be that fire that's not quenched and that worm that never dies. That's what sin does to us. It drags us down to the lowest, worst places and the most painful ways. And it makes us into wicked, godless people. And yet, if Jesus saves us from that, we should be even more excited than a leper. Coming back and wanting to praise Him, wanting to glorify Him, wanting to live with Him, live for Him. We see here that he praises God also with humility. It says he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Here we see, you know, his body language was all about he was saved and he was grateful to Jesus for what he did. And Jesus says this. He says, and he said to him, arise, go your way. You know, he's talking to him when he's down on the ground. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And I think that last word, when it says made you well, it may be a little bit deceptive. It's sozo, the Greek word for salvation. It could be said your faith has saved you. Obviously, all the lepers were cured of their leprosy. But I believe when he says your faith has made you well, when your faith has saved you, that this leper had salvation. And he had all the signs of salvation. He came back to Jesus. He glorified God with the voice. He humbled himself before Jesus. He did these things that show he was truly saved. And Jesus pronounced that he was truly saved. What about the others? And what about us? Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God? And what I think is important to notice here is the question marks. He says, where are the 9? You could ask, where are they now? Are they in hell? Are they in heaven? Are some of them in hell and some of them in heaven? Do we know? Does Scripture tell us about where the 9 are? There's just question marks there. Jesus doesn't say, oh, they're in Jerusalem. They must be with the priest. He doesn't tell us where they are. And he doesn't tell us for sure that they were saved. He says to the one leper, your faith has saved you. We don't know about the other 9. We just don't know. I read every commentary on this to find out what they said. R.C. Sproul, as I already said he thought that the other 9 probably did. They probably did believe and they probably were saved. And then most other commentaries said, oh, it's highly unlikely they weren't saved. And it's interesting. Nobody was saying for sure they're saved or they're not saved. Because why? Scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. And it got to the point where I'm thinking, this is what it's talking about, making our call and election sure. Were they restored to their purpose? Were they glorifying God? Well, they didn't glorify God by coming back to Jesus and making it known. Were they loud in their praise and thanksgiving to God? Or were they absent, unseen, and unheard? Well, they were absent and unseen and unheard.
God is gracious, and I believe they could have been saved. They might have all nine of them been saved too. He showed grace on them and saving them from their leprosy, and He might have said, showed greater grace again, and yet we don't know. Are we loudly, we could ask for ourselves, are we loudly grateful to God for His salvation? How can we grow louder in thanksgiving to God? One is by knowing ourselves. Knowing, you know, that we're sinners on our own. We are in a worse condition than these lepers. Secondly is by knowing our sad state because of that sin. Sin will lead ultimately to hell. Even if we're saved from hell, that's where it was going to go, and we got to know that's where we were headed. If Christ hadn't died on the cross, if He hadn't come and saved us. And then knowing what it cost Jesus to save us. Next week we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this is something we can think about. He was heading for Jerusalem. He was going there to purchase salvation, I believe, at least for this one leper. Maybe for the others. And then knowing our salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved. Not saved only from hell, but saved from our sins. Jesus came that we might be saved from our sins, and we know our salvation when God, by His Holy Spirit, gives us victory over those things that have pulled us down, that have hurt us. We always are going to be struggling in this world with sin. Lack of thankfulness, maybe even lack of loudness in glorifying God. And loudness doesn't necessarily mean to be loud of voice. But loud means to be dedicated in heart and really giving ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus. And I think that's what this man did. It's just that his whole body language and his voice could not contain his thankfulness. It was so great. And we should aspire to be more like Him by the grace of God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for what we see here. That Jesus did for this leper. And Father, we thank You even for what He did for the other lepers, even though we don't know the full result of that. And Father, we pray that You might help us to be more thankful for all that You do for us. Father, You've saved us. You've given us Your Word and Your Spirit. You've given us eternal life. And Father, these are things that should move us and shake us and get us going for You. Maybe in different ways for different personalities and different people and different callings. And yet, even though the ways may be different, we know that there is something here taught in Scripture that this man did in appreciation and thankfulness for his salvation. And Father, we pray that we would be thankful in the same way for the great things that You do for us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.